Well, first of all, I want to thank you personally for coming up closer. It's very difficult to preach to people when they're way back there and you can't even see their eyes. So for those of you who don't usually come forward, I'm really grateful that you came up this evening. We chose the better part. You know, a lot of our fellow cathedral mass attenders are watching the football game tonight. But this is a better part, huh? What goes on here is much more exciting and important than what goes on in the football stadium. Of course, many of them went to Mass this morning, so we're not judging them about not going to Mass. But this is more important for the city of Philadelphia than any football game would be, because we pray together to bring God's blessing on our community and on ourselves. The theme that's very clear in all of today's scripture readings is the urgency of conversion. It's clear from each one of the readings. Our first reading is from the Old Testament, from the book of Jonah. Most of you know something about that book because of the kids' songs about Jonah and the whale. Of course, when you read the book itself, there's no whale. There's a big fish, but it's not described as a whale, just a big fish. And the most interesting part of this reading in terms of details is excluded from our reading today. This is this has been kind of patched together and is a short version of the essence of that book of the prophet Jonah. Jonah was called by God to preach to the city of Nineveh, which was the capital city of the Assyrians. And the Jews, of course, didn't like the Assyrians because they had attacked them and had destroyed most of the Jewish community. So the prophet was resistant to doing that. And instead of going to preach, he ran off, got on a boat, and sailed away. And God called him back by having a storm. He was thrown overboard. He was swallowed by the fish. And he was spit up on the shore right at the city of Nineveh. And then God said to him, I want you to go preach the message of conversion. And he didn't want them to be converted. He hated them. He would rather have them burn in hell than be converted, you know. But we're told in this reading that Nineveh was an enormously large city that took 3 days to walk through. And it says here, Jonah began his journey through the big city, but had gone but a single day's walk, announcing, 40 days more and Nineveh shall be destroyed, when the people of Nineveh believed in God. He gave a very short sermon, but in a very brief time, and everybody converted. You know, and it goes on to tell us that God was pleased with the conversion of these people, because God loves even his enemies, right? And it's a lesson, of course, in prejudice against people, as well as a book about the urgency of conversion. And would that our response would be as quick and authentic as the response of these enemies of God, the Ninevites. Our second reading is from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. And St. Paul is talking to them, thinking that Jesus' second coming is around the corner. And because Jesus is coming back soon, it's important for them to be converted. And he says all kinds of interesting things that are hard to understand unless we understand St. Paul's notion that the end of the world is coming quickly. We have to be converted. Because he says the time is running out, which is true. You know, earlier today, I was talking to Father Gill, the pastor of the cathedral, about my funeral, you know. And I was telling him that it's better to die while you're in office because people will come to your funeral. You know, if you wait till you're really old and no one remembers you anymore, no one will come to your funeral. But what I was thinking of myself is what it's going to be like in my casket after I'm dead for 10 or 15 years. And I envisioned myself, really, I did, in the casket with this vestment on, with this mitre on, and all the flesh is off my bones. I'm just a skeleton in the casket with beautiful vestments on, which mean nothing, because We're all going to die. And it's going to happen sooner than we think and sooner than we want. So it's important that we be converted when? Now. Not to wait for some other time. But St. Paul, aware of that, says here, the time is running out. From now on, let those who have wives act as not having them. What do you guys who are married think of that? Your wives already think you act like you don't have a wife sometimes, you know? You know. But what St. Paul is saying here is, you know, that even marriage, it shouldn't be the primary focus of Christians. It's very important, of course. It's the vocation of most men and women. But the most important thing is what? Our conversion within our marriage and the conversion of our family. He says, let those weeping not as not weeping. You know, if you're really worried and concerned about things, get over it, because the end of the world is coming. What's really important is that you should be converted. And he goes on, those rejoicing is not rejoicing. You know, you're just having parties can be helpful, but the parties aren't very important when you compare it to conversion. And he goes on, those buying not as not owning, those using the world as not using it fully. And he goes on at the end to say, for the world in its present form is passing away. And it is, you know. Some of you may be 30 years old and think it's a long way off, but it's not really. Because it seemed to me when I was 30 that I had a long life, and here I am, 73 years old, and the time has gone so quickly. It's going to be true about all of us. So there has to be an urgency about our conversion. And then in today's gospel, we have Jesus' first sermon, which, like the sermon of Jonah, is very short. You know, this is the summary of Jesus' first homily. He says, this is the time of fulfillment. In other words, I am the fulfillment of God's promise. The kingdom of God, you know, when the place where God rules is at hand. It's nearly here. To be at hand means nearly here, within a hand's reach. So that's what that means. Repent and believe in the gospel. Repent, you know, the Greek word is metanoia, which doesn't mean stop sinning. It means turn your heart around. It's about the heart, not about individual actions, which are very important, but it's about what drives us to act the way we act. And we need to have a change of our hearts and believe in the good news that Jesus gives us. Jesus, of course, speaks the good news, but he's also the good news himself, you know. So that's the sermon, which is a call to what? Urgent conversion, right? And then we see it actually happening in the lives of his first apostles, just as it happened in the lives of the Ninevites. You know, when church picks these readings, there's themes that come together. And what happens? You know, Jesus is walking along the shore and he sees Andrew and Peter, brothers, fishing, and he says, come follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And it says, and they followed him. Then he walks along a little further and he sees the sons of Zebedee, James and John, in the boat with their father and with the hired help. So this must have been a significant fishing enterprise. You know, they weren't fishing for recreation. They were fishing for a living. And apparently John's and James's father, Zebedee, was successful enough that they hired people to help them. And Jesus says to them, come follow me. And it says they left their father, their family, in the boat, their livelihood, along with the hired men, you know, their friends, and followed him. Now, I don't know why, but the English translation didn't translate a very important word. And the word means immediately. So in both cases, it's left out. But in Hebrew, in the Greek, it's there, that Peter and Andrew and James and John immediately left their nets and followed him. Again, it's about the urgency of conversion. So just as God called them, God is calling you, and God is calling me. And it's very important that we show the same kind of quality of response as we've seen in these, all these characters in the gospel in the first reading. And the qualities of conversion are, it was complete. You know, Andrew and James and John and Peter left everything, or were willing to leave everything anyway, their families, their livelihood, you know, everything that they knew. They were willing to give up themselves, their very selves, and to follow him. So it was complete. It was also unreserved. You know, complete means you give everything. Unreserved means you don't hold anything inside back. You know, you give yourself. You don't just give things. You don't hold something back. And it was obviously that their conversion to Jesus was unreserved. Didn't reserve anything for themselves, but gave everything to follow him. And it was immediate. So we have a standard for ourselves, right? That God is calling us urgently, and we have to respond completely, unreservedly, and when? Now. You know, not putting it off till tomorrow. A question that sometimes is raised when this passage is read by Christians is, why did Jesus choose fishermen to be his disciples, be his apostles? I mean, he chose other people, but the significant number of them were fishermen, and the first ones were fishermen. And of course, we don't know. We always, those speculation about why Jesus does what he does. But one of the answers that it's given is that God, it's obvious this is true, that God, when he chooses his disciples in the scriptures, almost always, I would even say always, chooses ordinary people. You know, he didn't choose the priests or the scribes from the temple to be his apostles. He chose fishermen. He chose ordinary people. That means we don't have any excuse, because he chooses us. You know, we're, all of us here are ordinary people. I'm from Kansas, a little hick town of 6,000 people. I couldn't imagine coming to Philadelphia when I was a kid, you know. Nowhere place. You never heard of it. Any of you never heard of Concordia, probably. So we don't have excuses. None of us have excuses. And the reason we don't have excuses is because Christianity is for ordinary people. You know, so it's not for extraordinary people. The gospel is for everyone. And it's our understanding that every baptized person is a professional Christian. All of us. By professional, I mean, you know, full, qualified, invested, you know. Every baptized person is supposed to be a professional Christian. So let's be urgent in our response to Jesus's urgent call. May the Lord convert our hearts and our lives.